Say with me, hung by the tongue. And I hope you're going to get this message this morning. It's not going to be long. Although it's a few notes, but it's not going to be long. We're going to go through it quickly. You know, our greatest desire is, and you will see that happen, that here at ECC, we're going to train up gifts. We're going to train up people to do the work of the kingdom. Now, what you have to understand is that in every gift, if you look at a person, every gift still contains capacity, depth, and size. Some people might have gifts that has no capacity, but it is big in size. Others have gifts that are big in size, and it's big in capacity, and it has a lot of depth. Are you guys with me? What is capacity? It means that God can trust them to do a lot of things and have a lot of responsibility. Depth means that the river runs deep. There's a depth to that gift. Are you guys with me? Then you can have somebody that has a big gift, meaning that the gift can do a lot. So those three things are not the same. When gifts come out of people, they must be in a right environment for those gifts to come out. Now, soon we'll do a series or something on honor. Gifts only come out in an environment where honor is established, where we honor up, sideways, and down. The Bible says, honor one another, esteem one another higher than yourself. When somebody is esteemed and honored, it activates the gift that is in them to come out. Are you guys with me? It activates the gift that is in them. And so sad, you know, because of this, and that's why I'm going to go through the message today. There's another side to this thing that completely stifles a person's gift and removes them out of church and out of the body of Christ. I have not seen people being removed by sin. I have seen people in our church, they go mess up, they go backslide or sin. It never removes them. Are you guys with me? I've seen them come back or they feel guilty, they feel bad, we pray for them, it's done. How many of you know that's done upon the cross? His blood has taken away your sins, future, past, and present. Doesn't mean that you will never sin. No. It just means when it happens, there's forgiveness that you can apply upon your life. Now, then there's one thing that I've seen throughout my years that sadly destroys people. It is the sin of the tongue. You get sin of the flesh, sin of the heart, and sin of the tongue. Are you guys with me? I know it's going to be a tough one. But the sin of the tongue is one of the worst ones there. It removes Christians. It removes believers. The way people talk, what they say. There's six things that God hates. I think it is Proverbs chapter number. Let me see where it is. Maybe, is it six? I think it is six. Maybe somebody can just help me. Proverbs chapter number six. Huh? Just Google it for me. You guys must be quick if I'm... Six things that the Lord hates. Proverbs 6:16. Ah, you're slow. Jesus. These six things the Lord hates. Say with me, hates. He says, yes, seven are an abomination to him. Next verse. A proud look. So this is what we call the sin of the eyes. Sin of the flesh, sin of the tongue, sin of the heart, sin of the eyes. A proud look. That haughty look, that Pentecostal look, okay? When people give you, when you walk into church, they, where have you been? That look. God hates that look. Hands that shed innocent blood, so murder. So God compares that look to murder. Are you guys with me? A heart that devises wicked plans. So you're speaking motives in the heart. How many times have I had people that would sit in this church and they would devise wicked plans behind the scenes. And the devil plays them like that to come against me. Yet, God puts that in the same category. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Next verse. A false witness who speaks lies. Now it's the sin of the tongue. Are you guys with me? And the one who speaks lies. God is saying, I'm putting that one next to a murderer. Same category. And one who sows with his tongue discord among the brethren. The one that goes and talks here, and then he goes to somebody else and there, and then he sows discord. Are you guys with me? God is saying that one, it's an abomination. I hate these things. And he's putting him next to the murderer. Next verse. Okay, that's it. Go previous verse. So he's saying, listen, these are the things. Those who plan these things, who speak. who does murder, who goes and runs towards evil, who is a false witness, and who sows discord among the brethren, who speaks division. They divisive all the time. Are you guys with me? You know, as the prophetic, unfortunately, I have eyes behind my head and ears behind my, well, let me say ears everywhere and eyes behind my bed, behind my head, seeing what people do in their bedroom. Amen. I'm joking. It's scriptural, although it is scriptural, okay? Elisha, the Bible says that there's one who sees what you say in your bedroom. Okay, let's go to a note. Say with you the sin of a tongue. That is one thing I want to establish here by us. And like I said, that many mornings we've preached, but we're going to go back to teaching to get the word into you. Remember, preaching inspires, but teaching equips and imparts. So when you teach, you lay a foundation, you establish, or let me say prophecy establish, teaching imparts. Are you guys with me? So on the notes here, we're going to be teaching, and you'll check, there's quite a lot of notes. You can take it home. And this is very good stuff. If we can eliminate this thing in our lives, God will use you. He will be close to you. If we have these things in the Bible, says God hates it and He resists us. Are you guys with me? And there's a story about Absalom, and this is the beginning of the notes. I might not go through everything, I might talk a little bit, but there was a story about Absalom, who's King David's son, and you will see how the sins of the father came down to the sins of the son. Can you guys hear me well? I just want to know, because it's very good. It's not bad. It's very good for me. It's just different. So you'll see how the sons of the father came upon the son, sins of the father came upon the sins of the son. And how Absalom, the Bible said that he went and slept with King David's wife in the town city, the center of the town. Are you guys with me? With everybody watching him. That's what came upon King David. Because of the sin that he committed, things came down into his family and his sons. And God said to King David, he said, I'll have mercy on you, but it's going to hit your sons. So then Absalom went from there. The Bible said Absalom was handsome, tall. He was very good looking to look upon. And then he would sit. The Bible said that, and I'm not going to read you the whole story. He would sit at the city gate. And people would come into King David to ask of his counsel. And then before they get to him, Absalom would sit at the gate and say, come to me. I will hear your case. And then he takes them. The Bible says he took them by the hand like this. And then they tell him his case. And then he says these words. He says, oh, if only there was somebody that would listen to you. Oh, if Leon would only counsel you. You know, for I haven't seen him do counseling sessions for how long. You know, Apostle Leon doesn't actually, you know, he doesn't mix with the people. You know, in the meantime, we do home visits and all this stuff. You know, if only, you know, if, and then Absalom goes further. He says, if it was only I that can judge the people and give them counsel. And then he says that he took their hand, kiss it, and let them go. What he began to do by his words, he sowed discord into the people. And he began to call it the Absalom spirit. He began to cause sedition and pulled their hearts. The Bible says he carried on like that until many hearts were won over to him. Are you guys with me? So he caused sedition, he caused many hearts to be won over to him, and he took it away from King David. From there we saw how he would go to King David and he would act. He would, and I'm speaking now, only, don't worry. If just tell your neighbor, it's not me, it's you. Okay? No, I'm not saying it's anybody here. Maybe like four people. Okay, I'm not saying it's anybody here. But this is for you to be educated, for you to be trained, and to know when it comes, and to know how to see it in those that come. Are you guys with me? Nothing destroys a church more than a sin of a tongue. Sin does not destroy a church. Tongues does. The Bible says in James chapter, put for me James chapter number 3, verse number 6 on. Listen. Or before you go, before you do that, listen. I have so much to share with you. The tongue, the Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 2 that God said, let there be light. Are you with me? God's words created the world. Then when Adam was created, God said to Adam, he gave him creative ability and he told him, you name the animals. And as Adam was speaking, I taught you this, he would speak and the animals would come to life. So Adam received creative ability. Your creative ability is not in your hands and your feet or your kidney or your liver. It is in your tongue. Are you guys with me? Jesus would speak to the fig tree to curse it. And the next day his disciples walked past the tree and the tree was dead. What Jesus spoke came to pass. When the extension of God is in your mouth, that when we speak well of our future, it builds. I told you and I taught you how you can create your future by your words. Are you guys with me? And in the Tower of Babel, the Tower of Babel, the Bible said they all had one language and they began to be in unity and they built that tower. The word says that they built it going into heaven. And God said, if these people do not stop right now, nothing will be impossible for them because they have one language. They have one tongue. They, whatever they put their hearts to, they will accomplish. If they say, let us build a tower into heaven, it'll be accomplished. Are you guys with me? And God began to divide their tongues, their languages, so that it couldn't happen. Only at Acts chapter number 2, when we got baptized with the Holy Ghost, and we all received again one tongue, to begin to pray in other tongues, that which was not possible anymore. Now, everything we put our hearts together, with one language, we can achieve it. Are you guys getting this? As powerful as that tongue is, in the same way, James chapter 3, go to verse 6. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell itself. As good as what the tongue is, the Bible is saying, listen, your own tongue is set on fire by the flames of hell. That's how much damage it can cause. Are you guys with me? It's amazing that God would not, when Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, Aaron and Miriam, the Bible says they said about Moses, they said, how can he marry an Ethiopian lady? Is he the only one that can hear from God? Surely we can also hear it from God. And the Bible says, and the Lord heard it. It's amazing that God, the Bible does not say when Moses sinned by marrying an Ethiopian girl. It was sin those days to marry outside of your tribe. Okay? So even though that was a thing that Moses did wrong, the Bible does not say God saw what he did wrong. But when they spoke wrong, God says, and the Lord heard it. Are you guys with me? Let's go to the notes because I'm going to go off here. So Absalom began to draw the people to himself. And we see the Bible says, we go on, and I don't know the scriptures on there, but we see how the Bible says that at Absalom's, many of the people's hearts, many of the hearts, I think it was that of Israel, was won over by Absalom, was turned. The Bible says they were turned to Absalom. I wish I can get the verse to you. Let me see here. Let me see if I can get the verse. Yeah. So let me just read. I won't put it on the screen. Let me just read. It says, so Absalom stole. Say with me, stole. He stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Another translation, it says, the men of Israel's hearts were turned to Absalom. It was turned. Why? Because somebody influenced it. Are you guys with me? And then we see how we carry on. And then the Bible explains how Absalom, how this sin affected David so much. So you can go there on your notes. Go to there by the first bold piece, 2 Samuel chapter number 15. It says, so David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, he said, arise and let us flee from Absalom. Otherwise, we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. This sins of the tongue affected his own father, a king who was of the king of the nation, so much that a king felt needed to flee. Are you guys with me? I have seen pastors destroyed when they don't know how to handle the sins of a tongue in a church. And they will literally flee. They would want to run away. Is this message too hard? I said it's not for you, okay? You can just apply it. These are things that we preach in the beginning of a church. And I spoke to you about tongue trouble and those things. These are things because when we sit with people in our office, people that cause trouble, if somebody snorts cocaine and slept with prostitutes and they are humble, it's amazing you'll see the grace of God. Just them manifesting love. Then obviously, if they're repentant, are you guys with me? But then you've seen somebody that's haughty and they will just speak evil against this one, and they sit in your office and God will just say, put them out of the church immediately. And then people get mad at me because on the outside they look holy. Are you guys with me? On the outside, however could you do this to this one? No, that tongue is enlightened by the flames of hell. And it can destroy and infect other people. It's like a poison. Are you guys with me? So, listen. So we see with Absalom. So David, that the power of the tongue caused a king to run away. And listen, he goes on there with the notes. He says he brought terrible pressure against David. And threat of death was released against him. However, Absalom ended up, the Bible says that, I'm not going to go through the verse, but in 2 Samuel 18, verse 9 to 17, it says these words, how Absalom was riding on his donkey, and he found himself with David's people. And all of a sudden, his hair was caught on a thicket, on a bush, on a tree. Are you guys with me? And he was caught in it, and the donkey carried on running, and Absalom was hanging by his hair. And we have a saying, we say that Absalom was hung by the tongue. Because of how his tongue was before that, he was caught by his words. And that caused him to hang between heaven and earth. Your tongue will cause you to be stuck and not go into your destiny. While a donkey can go into his destiny and still carry on running. Are you guys with me? Okay. So, listen, I don't have much time, maybe 20 minutes and then I'll close, but I want to get through some things with you. Same with the poisons. I want to speak about poisons of the tongue. James 3 verse 8, it says the tongue, it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Go to the next page there, you'll see on page 2, and let's go to that middle piece where it's bold. I'm just jumping some things here. The Bible says the tongue is full of poison, a poison that can kill. When a snake strikes you, it poisons your bloodstream. Some types of snakes poison affect the nervous system. Other types affect the cardiovascular system. When the poison hits the nervous system, many of the nerves become paralyzed and you may stop breathing and die. When the other type of poison hits the cardiovascular system, you may begin to bleed internally and externally. Whichever type of poison it is, you better deal with it fast or otherwise you're in trouble and poison kills. Are you guys with me? Let's say a snake, and I'm going only with the notes because this is important. Let's say a snake poisons someone you love. For instance, your father. Your father is probably the one who pays your school fees. It means that within the mouth of a poisonous snake is the ability to stop you from going to school. If you have a boss that pays you money and he gets poisoned by a snake, it means that in the mouth of a snake is the ability to stop your income. Are you guys with me? If a snake is going to come into the congregation, and I'm not speaking symbolically yet, if a snake will come in and bite somebody, it means in the mouth of that snake, there's poison to remove the congregation. Now, I'm going to take poison and represent it to tongue, because in James 3 verse 8, it says that our tongue is an unruly evil. It is a deadly poison. When somebody has a tongue, an evil tongue, and they begin to speak to others, it is like injecting poison into other congregation members. Are you guys with me? So, just as we have the ability to remove poison out of a snake's mouth, we can also take the poison out of our tongues. It may be difficult, but it can be done. The question is, how do I remove the poison? And then, first of all, I must know on the next page, what is this poison? I want to quickly just share with you points of what types of poison there is in the tongue that can affect us. And if this applies to you, repent. If it doesn't, just keep the notes. Amen. The Bible says that we must speak with our words as if it is with salt. Point number two, listen. So lying destroys your conscience in number one. Number two, lying, that which hardens your heart. When a person lies, their conscience is seared, number one. Number two, their hearts begin to be hardened. They no longer get sensitive to sin. They no longer get sensitive to the presence of God. Are you guys with me? And I'm going to go through the scriptures there. Just for time's sake, you have the notes. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. So where there's no talebearer. Oh, that's talebearer. Sorry. I'm jumping the things up. Point number three, page three. So the third one is lying that generates God's hatred. I read that verse, Proverbs 6, verse 16. It generates God's hatred. The second poison. So the first poison is lying. The second poison, say with me, flattery. I thank God we don't have any more flatterers in the church. We did have. And a flatterer. Let me just read the verse there. It says 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 5. It says, for neither at any time did we use flattering words. Proverbs 26, verse 28. There it says, a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Are you guys with me? In the book of Proverbs, I didn't put the scripture on. The Bible says, a flatterer has murderous intents in his heart. When somebody comes and flatters you, they have murderous intents. I would have people sometimes coming to me after the service, oh, Pastor Leon. The one said, you are the greatest pastor. I have never heard so much revelation. A week later, please can, you know, I have my own ministry and be on the pulpit. And we're like, no, go to the vision. By another church. Oh, you're so great. You're the greatest pastor. Now they have their own ministry in the church. 1 month later. The devil is in flattery. Flatter. When a person flatters, the exact opposite is true. What they say. Are you guys with me? And the flatterer doesn't only destroys the one that's flattering. It destroys the hearer. Sometimes when people are flattering, I'll just be like, but when I'm very anointed or spiritual, I rebuke them. But for their sake, you know, sometimes people are soft and they're sensitive, but it's the devil speaking through them. The devil flatters so that pride can come into your heart. When pride comes in, the anointing lifts. I've had it after services. Oh, I think my team has heard where people would say just, you know, you are the best pastor ever. We have never heard anybody preach like that. Let me do one mistake. I'll be slaughtered. Amen. So I'm glad those ones are not with us anymore. And me, I don't care about, listen, this church, you, one thing you'll find out, we're not desperate for people. I can tell you that now. You know, I've been too much around, I've traveled too much around to see pastors being desperate. We love people. We are not intimidated by people. We are not intimidated by helping people. We love them. If we have to say something straight, we'll do it. Are you guys with me? So, and I'm not there. I've seen churches doing everything just to hold on to their people. They'll say, you have to stay in this church. This is the will of God. If any church tells you that, the church is off. I cannot tell people what the will of God is for their lives. Amen. So, flattery. The word flatter means to excessively praise someone insincerely in order to gain favor for yourself. Main leaders are surrounded by people who flatter them. They speak words which are not true in order to feed their ego. They make the leader feel that he is the greatest and the best. And there's no one like you. Okay, so it is not only secular leaders that forms us, also Christian. There's the third poison there on your page. Tailbearing. So if you're tailbearing. Okay, this is another one that... Tailbearing is another deadly poison of the tongue. The Bible teaches us that it was the ability to separate best friends. And with my life, I've seen friendships destroyed by talebearing. When our ministry just started, we had quite a big move. And we will quickly go back to that. And we had a big move you would see thousands of people gathering. You wave your hand, the anointing would fall all everywhere. You had so much power. I did not doubt the power any second. I would just sit in a restaurant. You could release the power of God there. Are you guys with me? And I remember we were on TV and went to these things, and one friend of ours, a couple that was friends of ours, we helped them out, we supported them financially, and they went and began to, got jealous because something was offered to us that wasn't offered to them. And the next thing, everybody this couple was associated with, they began to speak to me and tell me all these stories that they've heard. And they began to close doors for us like this, one after the other, after the other. TV, this, that. But because of tale-bearing, a story, a lie that they were spreading, that was not true. And that affected us quite a bit. And I said, oh, don't worry, we'll be on the best TV station soon. And that will happen this year still, possibly you'll see. Amen. And people mustn't say, oh, but TV this, TV that. Listen, when you're on TV, when I have been on TV, you reach hundreds of thousands of people. You know, it's a way of reaching people. And imagine you giving into this church here. You're part of this church here. And it's growing, and you're affecting so many people out there. We have so many requests of people, and we had one of the channels saying that they would love to have us on and this and that, and I'm not going to go into detail now, so we're busy dealing with that, and we're looking at prime time. So listen, so tale-bearing, say with it, tale-bearing. That's when you spread a story, and the Bible goes on how God hates tale-bearing. Go through to the next page by poison number 4. And I don't want to take too long. I want to get through the points. Poison number 4, blasphemy. So the blasphemy. To blaspheme is to speak in an irreverent way about God or sacred things. It also means to show contempt or irreverence for God. Mark chapter number 3, verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils, Jesus is casting out the devils. So they were looking and seeing the power of God, and they said, no, this power that is being displayed is the devil. That's when people can come in and they say, no, this is not the power of God, this is the devil. That's when people blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That's when Jesus said, listen, blaspheming the Father, there is forgiveness. Blaspheming the Son, there is forgiveness. But blaspheming the Holy Ghost, saying that where the presence of God is, it's the devil. He said, there is no forgiveness in this thing. That's why when people speak evil of ministers, I fear. Are you guys with me? Because the only thing that comes to me is there's no forgiveness. When they touch you as somebody that's anointed, they touch God. And I shared with this you over and over. These are the scriptures that are in here. So I'm not going to go through that because of time's sake. But it is just amazing to me that people don't have a problem to come against this minister, that minister, this anointing. And they don't know they're actually coming against God. And it's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Point number 5, on the next page there, point number 5. And I'm going through because I want to get to some good stuff in the end, and the time is running fiercely out. Poison number 5. Say with me, expressing doubt. The only reason we had a little bit time shortage today is because of the communion, so that only happens once a month. The expression of doubt through our words is one of the things God hates. And, Hebrews chapter number 3, verse 17, let me read that. It says, But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? God was grieved with Israel for 40 years because they did not have faith that they could enter into the promised land. Are you guys with me? They had doubt. When Caleb and Joshua went into with the spies into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb came back and said, but wait, we can take this land. And because of the doubt of the others, nothing happened. And God said, you will go 40 years in the wilderness. Are you guys with me? Number 6. Say with me, slander. And I'll finish this now. To slander is to utter maliciously untrue statements about somebody. It also means to defame them, to denigrate another, to degenerate another. Therefore, to slander is to lie about somebody. Slander is destructive, and usually it is irreversible. It paints a picture that cannot be unpainted. There are many people who will not go to heaven because they can no longer receive from a man of God. Let me explain this. Some people can slander ministers, and then others don't want to receive from them anymore because of the slander, and they can miss heaven for themselves. When people slander in the church, they don't understand they're causing people to go to hell. Are you with me? Point number 7, deadly poison number 7, second last one. So with backbiting. Backbiting means to be bitten in the back. That is to slander someone in their absence. Backbiting is one of the poisons of the tongue that is very common in dividing and splitting churches. Proverbs 25 verse 23 says this, the north wind drives away rain, and so does an angry countenance on a backbiting tongue. Let me just explain to you, we have a way. When you deal with somebody that slanders, that backbites, that gossips, You don't say, thank you so much. And the Bible says, an angry countenance. That if I know that somebody's gossiping, whether I have them in my office or here while I'm preaching, the key to deal with that thing is through an angry countenance. Are you guys with me? The Bible says an angry countenance drives away gossiping, backbiting. Deadly poison number 8. It says murmuring. Say with me, murmuring. Hey, this one. I also sometimes have this one. Philippians 2 verse 14. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputing. Murmuring is the undertone disagreement. Oh, no, I don't have this one. Undertone disagreement and protest over an issue or situation by discontent people. It is something that every Christian must avoid at all costs. So when you take up an offering and they're sitting behind the below their voice, another offering. All this church does is this, or laying hands again, you know, just murmuring, complaining. The Bible says that the Israelites, hundreds of thousands, that God destroyed them. He sent a destroyer to them to destroy them because of their murmuring and complaining. Imagine God sending an angel of a destroyer to destroy you because you're complaining and murmuring, complaining. Oh, you know this, somebody is complaining all the time. Hey, stop complaining and become joyful. Listen, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 10, the last page there, it says, neither murmur as some of them also murmured and were destroyed. The poison of murmuring destroys many Christian and Christian leaders. Let me close with this. Death and life. Say with me, death and life is the power of the tongue. So when we speak life and when we speak death, we have the ability to create our lives and make it a success, or we have the ability to destroy it. We have the ability to sit in a church and affect everything what God wants to do by our tongues. We have the ability to move and pull people away from encountering, experiencing God by our tongues. Are you guys with me? Let me close off with this. Psalm 19 verse 14. It says, let the words of your mouth be acceptable in the sight. Lord, let my words of my mouth be acceptable. How do I know when I speak right? If I sit in front of Jesus and I speak, will it be acceptable? Will he sit there and smile and be acceptable with what I'm saying? Amen. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the Lord God has given me a tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak. John 6 verse 63. And I shared this with you. In fact, there's another verse where everybody left Jesus. And even his disciples wanted to leave. And Jesus asked his disciples, are you not leaving? And Peter turned to him and he said, where are we going to go? For you carry the words of life. Which means that when Jesus was speaking, the whole time he was speaking life. In the verse there, I think it's John 6 verse 63. The Bible says that Jesus had his words was spirit and life. Are you guys with me? Whenever he spoke spirit and he spoke life. People would be around him and enjoy him. Why? Because of the words that he was speaking. Daniel, I told you about Daniel and the angel Gabriel that came to Daniel. And the angel said to Daniel, Daniel, I have visited you. I have been sent from the throne room of God because of your words. Say with your words. Stand to your feet. Let's stand to our feet. I hope you got something out of this. If it doesn't, it's okay. Just raise your hands. Just close your eyes. Father, I pray for every single person. May our words be seasoned with salt. May we carry the words of Christ. May our words be anointed. May it carry spirit. May it carry life. May every poison that we spoke about right now, may we be cleaned of poison. May as you take poison and defang a snake, may we be defanged and be removed out of us. May our words be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give him a praise offering, church. Amen.